the Christians. Who are they? Why are we Christians in the first place? Is it waste of time? Is it because we have nothing better to do? Is it just the mere present fulfillment of something to preoccupy us? Christianity is much, much, much more than that. Why do we need Jesus Christ, Christianity, and the church? Because this life that you and I now live and enjoy is not all there is to life. This is a very small part of our existence. The greater part of man's existence is beyond the grave, beyond this life. And the Almighty God wants us to arrive at the grave in a right relationship with Him. Because our eternal peace depends on a right relationship with the Almighty God through Jesus Christ here, so that at death we would have been in a right relationship leading up to death. That's why we need Christ, Christianity, the church. And that's why we should take it serious. The Christian, who are they? What makes us Christian? In Brother Smith's prayer, he prayed and gave God thanks for all God has done for us. And the lesson, the emphasis on the lesson today is on that very point. What God has done for us. And the emphasis, of course, is in the spiritual realm. We know that He provides for us shelter and health and strength and what? And what? These are the physical areas of life, but the emphasis today is on the spiritual area of life, what He has done for us. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, particular word. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, particular words are used to help the children of God understand better what Jesus Christ has done for us and what He is doing for us. I need to repeat that. In the gospel of Christ, there are words that the Holy Spirit uses. Words that were meant to bring to our minds some good things that God has done for us and is doing for us. That is, spiritually. And God has done this for us and is doing it for us to maintain fellowship with Him and to secure our eternal peace. These words were not randomly or impulsively used or chosen by God. They were, when the Holy Spirit put in the inspired writer to use certain words like justify, sanctified, adopted, saved, these are not words that were used impulsively or randomly. They were thoughtfully chosen by heaven. Listen what the Holy Spirit says about it in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 12 to verse 13.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
But now we, the Christians, receive not the spirit of the world,
but the spirit which is of God.
But the spirit which comes from God. Wait. The we here is referring to the Christian. But the spirit which comes from God. Read.
That we might know the things that are freely given.
Now, the things that are freely
given to us.
This is not referring to the material things of life. Watch here. Now, these things that are freely given to us are not referring to our clothes, our food, our shelter. No. Let the brother read further and you will see what things he has in mind.
Given to us of God, which things also...
Which things?
Also we speak.
Also we speak. Wait. What is he talking about? He's talking about the gospel which they preach. That's the things under consideration. But he's not finished. The things which also we speak.
Not in the words.
Wait, take time with me, brother. Not in the words.
Which man?
RDX. Not in the words. You see, what did I say in introducing the lesson? That we are going to be looking on some words which were not randomly and impulsively used either by the inspired writer or by the Holy Spirit, but words which were thoughtfully chosen. So as to help us to understand the things that God has done for us spiritually and the things He's doing for us to maintain our relationship with Him and to secure our eternal peace. Watch here. We put a lot of emphasis on the here and now. And it is because of the emphasis we place on the here and now that so many of us sometimes abandon, backslide from Christianity. It's the here and now. Sometimes we grow to feel that Christianity, going to church, is an endurance. That's our problem. You see, brothers and sisters, the things which were freely given to us. And the writer says that, let me pick up here again.
Which things also we speak.
Now, which things also we speak are preach.
Not in the words.
We do not use words.
Which man's wisdom teaches.
Wait. We did not randomly select the word that we like. Word that will help us to be impressive. We were guided in the very words that the inspired writer used to tell us about our salvation. Those words were chosen by the Holy Spirit. That's what the passage is saying here now. And this is why when the Bible uses certain words, you know, there's a place in Thessalonians that where Paul gives thanks that when they received the word of God, they did not receive it as the word of man, but as the word of God as it was. So in the passage the brother has just read, we are told that the Holy Spirit helped them to choose the very word that they used to bring God's truth over to us. Eh? You can understand the passage in the book of Isaiah 58. We're not going to read that. And verse 13, where the Almighty God told the Israelite through Isaiah that when the Israelites were worshiping God, not only should they not seek their pleasure, somebody didn't get that. Not only should they not seek their pleasure when they worship, God told them not even to use their own word. Oh, Brother Mitchell, how me never read that passage? Okay, thank you for bringing that to my attention, because you see, I was tempted anyway to read the passage, even though I want to move on. But let us turn to it. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13, I think. Quick.
If thou turn away thy foot from...
This was instruction to the Israelites in respect to when they worship, when they dedicate the Sabbath to remind them of what God did for them in leading them out of slavery in Egypt. Watch here now. God gave the Israelite instruction. But the application is also for us. Even though we do not keep Sabbath, the Sabbath was not commanded to us. Today is not a Sabbath. Some people call Sunday the Christian Sabbath. No, we do not have a Sabbath now. The Bible teaches that we are working for Christ now to get the Sabbath that is awaiting us beyond death. So if you are keeping Sabbath now, you are keeping it too early. That's right. This, whatever Sabbath men are keeping now, is not the one God gave them. God gave the Israelites a Sabbath to remind them that they were slaves in Egypt. But you and I have never been slaves in Egypt. Why did I take you to the book of Isaiah 58 and verse 13, brother? To show that the very words that they use, read, brother.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day,
from doing thy pleasure on my holy day,
and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways.
Wait, first, you hear God says, imply that they should not seek their own pleasure. Somebody didn't hear that? Well, we're not going to read it over, but it's there. And that tells us, you see, people who talk, now this business of praise and worship that we hear about, praise and worship is where men seek their own pleasure. And that makes worship entertainment. We do not come to church to seek our pleasure, because worship is all about God. We, the worshiper, do not come to worship ourselves. We come to give worship to God. So when you come in, you do not come thinking in terms of or seeking something that gives you pleasure, what you like, what you want. The thought pattern should always be what God wants. And that's what he's instructing the Israelites. Don't seek your own pleasure. Read on.
Not doing thine own ways.
You must not do your own ways. That is, don't do the things you like. Read on.
Nor finding thine own pleasure.
Nor find your own pleasure.
Nor speaking thine own words.
Let me hear that again.
Nor speaking thine own words.
They, Jonathan, should not speak their own words. That's it. God would direct them how to worship. And the very words that they are to use was directed by God. Then you come, the apostle telling us the same thing in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Everybody get that? In this lesson, we look at some of these words in order to better understand not only who are the Christians, that is, what has been done for us and to us to make us Christian, but also that we might be encouraged and bear in mind that God is working for us in the interest of our peace here and hereafter. Who is the Christians? Who are they? The Christian is a person who is pardoned, who is justified, who is sanctified, who is adopted, and who is saved. Now, may I throw out something here? These words are used in the gospel with definite concept in respect to what God has done for us in reference to our past state and condition. One of these words is not used in the New Testament. But when the Old Testament use it, the Old Testament use it with a view to what will happen in the New. And that is the word pardon. P-R-D-O-N, pardon. That word is not used in the New Testament in reference to our sins. It is used in the book of Isaiah 55 and verse 7. May we move on. These four words. Yes, it's five words I mentioned, but the emphasis now is on justified, sanctified, adopted, and saved. These four words are spoken of in the gospel of Jesus Christ as things that are done for us are to us by God. When the gospel speak of the children of God being sanctified, justified, adopted, saved, all these are telling of God's activity through Christ on our behalf. These words tell us of our change, C-H-A-N-G-E-D, our change state in reference to our past or in reference to our old condition. In our old state, in our old condition, in our Adamic. Brother Mitchell, where you get that word from? Well, the Bible tells us. Run to the book of 1 Corinthians 15, 22, 45 through 49. I use the word Adamic. Let us hear it, brother.
Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Wait. You're going to notice where the Bible makes reference to the first Adam, implying that there is a second Adam. That second Adam is Jesus Christ. Read verse 22 again.
For as in Adam all die,
mm-hmm.
even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
That's verse 22.
Yes.
Verse 45 following.
And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul,
mm-hmm.
that the last Adam was made a quickening.
You see, Christ is the last or second Adam. And what it is doing here, you see, remember I use the word the Adamic nature. We have the Adamic nature. That's how comes sin. The inclination to do our own thing in disregard to God's directive. It's the Adamic nature. And this is why the Almighty God had to step in grace and mercy and do for us things like justifying us, sanctifying us, adapting us. You're going to see that these words, take for example the word adapt. That word is used in reference to alienated. So when the Bible used the word adopt, it means before you were adopted into God's family through faith, repentance, and baptism, you were alien. What do you mean? You, Brother Mitchell, what do you mean? You were an alien. It used the word sanctified. What we are going to learn when we get to it, sanctified is both instantaneous and ongoing or progressive. What do you mean, brother? Well, let's. Okay, you read on, brother, while you start.
The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That is a spirit that make people alive. That's Jesus Christ. Read on.
Howbeit, that was not the first, which is spiritual.
That is, the first Adam was not the spiritual one.
But that which is natural,
The first Adam was natural.
And afterward, that which is spiritual.
That is Jesus Christ.
The first man is of the earth.
The first man is of the earth, earthly.
The second man is the Lord from heaven.
That's right.
As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly.
As the first Adam was, so we are. Earthly. But that earthliness carries with it the inclination to put spiritual value one side and to live according to material and physical value. That's the Adamic nature. That's why you see the world is becoming more materialistic. That's a fact. Men and women are not as responsive to Christ and the gospel now as they were 30, 40 years ago. That is a fact. When men and women can openly be proud that they are homosexual or whatever, openly, and they are proud of it, it shows the direction in which the world is going. It is Adamic nature, that inclination to do what we like, what we want, at the expense of Jesus Christ's will. What verse you stand?
Verse 48.
Read 49. When you're after 48, it's finished.
And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly.
They that are heavenly. That's the Christian. Read.
And as we have borne the image of the earthly.
As we have borne the image of the first Adam. And what that image? That's the carnal nature. How we have here? That's the inclination to sin, to go against God's will. That is still in us. The word sanctify going to come in to play a part there. That's why God had to sanctify us. The word sanctify and justify do not carry the same meaning. We'll get to that in a little while. So as was the earthly, so are they that are earthly. The Adamic nature. Read, brother.
And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
That is, those of us who accept Jesus Christ, the Almighty God wants to implant in us the Christ-like nature. That's what church is about. The Lord's church. That's what the gospel is about. That's what worship is about. That's what coming to Bible study is about. It's about the Almighty God inviting us and teaching us how day by day we can become more Christ-like. Put on the Christ-like nature. There are so many passages to be read on that point. Brother, quickly, Romans chapter 3. Verse 12. Quick. Verse 12.
They are all gone out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
They are together become unprofitable.
Wait. Notice. The Bible is describing the human condition spiritually. Are we there? The passage being read here is describing the human situation or condition spiritually or morally. They are some who gone out of the way.
They are all gone
but
out of the way.
But all gone out of the way, including you and me. It's only for the Christians we recognize we have gone out of God's way. And in Christ, we are trying to find ourselves back. Read on.
They are together become unprofitable.
All of them we have become unprofitable in God's sight. Read on.
There is none that doeth good.
There is no good person, human being. Unless It is Jesus Christ who guides you in his gospel that you start learning to be good in God's sight. Wait. You know the implication here? If you're a person who tried to help the poor and do all the good, visit the hospital and send the street boys to school, and you do all these good things, in the sight of God, that doesn't make you spiritually and morally good. There is no what, brother?
There is none that doeth good.
There is none that goeth good.
No.
Wait. The same Bible says that all our goodness is like what? Filthy rags. So you get it? Read up.
No, not one.
Not even one. What verse is that?
The end of 12.
Read 19 through 20. Quick, brother.
Now we know. That what things soever the law saith.
Uh-huh.
It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty.
Wait. What's the implication here? Whatsoever the law said, it said to them that are under the law. Watch here. It did not say that whatsoever the law said, it said to all men and women. What the passage is implying is that some were under the Old Testament law while the Gentile world wasn't. So it make a distinction here. Whatsoever the law said, not that it said to all men. No, because the law containing the Sabbath was never meant for all men. It said to them that are under the law. Watch here, read now.
That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty.
Watch here. What? You get the truth here? Before these verses, are you there with me? The Holy Spirit in Paul had already shown how the Gentile world was guilty before God because of their sin. Tell things like they are without excuse. That's the Gentile world. Now it's bearing down on the Jews, that the Jews with the law, they were not better than the Gentile. So this is why it says that whatever the law said, it said to them that are under the law. Why do you speak to them, God? That part of the world may stand guilty. Where is the reader?
And all the world may become guilty.
You all hear that? Every man, every woman is guilty before God. So I said all that to pick up where I left off. And that is, in our old condition, in our Adamic nature, we were guilty, condemned, unholy, alienated, and lost, all of us, before we became Christian, we were all guilty people in the sight of God. We were all condemned men and women in the sight of God. We were all unholy in the sight of God. We were all alienated in the sight of God. We were all lost in the sight of God before we became Christian. Every man, every woman, before we became Christian. But in Jesus Christ, the Christian, get this now. The Christian in Christ. What do you mean in Christ, Brother Mitchell? When we became Christian, the Christians are pardoned where once we were guilty. The Christians are justified. We're ones. We were under condemnation. The Christians are sanctified. Mr. Mitchell, what does that mean? Set apart. We're in. Once we were alienated. When a man or a woman is in Jesus Christ, when you are a true child of God, you are not only adopted, we're in. Once you were alienated, you are saved. Where once you were lost. Brother Mitchell, explain that for me some more. Thank you for asking me. It means that if you are here today and if you're not a child of God, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ and have seen your sinful state and condition to the extent you want to repent of your sin, confess faith in Christ, and get baptized, if you have not done that, you stand guilty in God's sight right now. You stand condemned in God's sight right now. You stand unholy in God's sight right now. You stand as an alien. Did I say as an alien? Yes, right now, if you are not a Christian, you are lost. But Mr. Mitchell, I'm not lost. Most place I'm going, if I don't know the place, I get a map. And what they call that electronic thing? GPS. That's right. So you're saying, I'm saying, if you're not a Christian, you're lost. Well, let me tell you, there's a place you're heading for, and a GPS won't take you there. That's right. Truly. And in that case, if you weren't lost, you would turn to Christ. It's because you are lost why you are so comfortable in the condition that you are out of Christ. I have been lost a few times. One of the problems sometimes when you are in North America, Canada, the U.S., you're on the highway and you need to turn off at a particular exit, like exit 90. And you're driving 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. And that exit 90 pass, you didn't notice it. You know the problem, brothers, and you will drive for miles and miles. That's the problem with that. And then when you finally found out, you discover you were lost. And getting back to that exit is a problem. If you're not a child of God, you are lost. And the only map that can take you to the right road is the gospel of Christ. Talk about you are not lost. In God's sight, you are unholy. You are an alien. The Bible teaches that sin condemns, sin pollutes. What does he mean? The Bible uses this word. Pollution, the water is polluted. That means don't drink it. It's packed with germ. Get in your system and it kills you. Well, morally and spiritually, if we are not Christian, we are polluted. Sin does that. Sin alienates. What the word alienate is? It means you are a foreigner. It means there are certain blessings in Christ to which you do not have access. Sin does not only alienate, sin destroy its subject. But watch here now, the opposite. Grace justify. The grace of God not only justify, it sanctify. The grace of God not only sanctify, it adapts. The grace of God not only adapt, it saves us. The grace of God. In reference to our past, look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12.
That at the time you were without Christ.
Start again.
That at that time you were... You were without Christ.
Brother Jonathan, at that time is when the Ephesians were not Christian. And in that way, it is applicable to us because it is telling us how we are seen by God when we are not Christian. And if you are here today and if you are not a child of God, God probably brought you here today for you to listen to how he sees you right now if you are not a child of God. So here the Apostle Paul, the Holy Ghost speaking through Paul, saying at that time, that is before you became a Christian. Read.
You were without Christ.
You are, for them it was you were. For us now, it is we are without Christ if we are not Christian. Read that.
Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel.
Every time I read this word, Jonathan, I always say we should understand that word. Simply because we are migrating people. We are people who are always traveling. And we hear a lot in the news about the alien and the citizen. Yes, those are the two opposites. You're an alien if you're a stranger. If there are certain privileges to which one sector of the society has access and to which another sector of the society do not have access, that's where you have citizenship and alienship. So when we tell the ungodly man or woman that God does not hear your prayer, let me repeat it. The Bible teaches God from Old to New Testament tells us that God is not responsive to the prayer of the ungodly. Because prayer, going to the throne of grace, is a spiritual privilege. And you have that privilege only when you are in Christ. Meaning, when you are a Christian. So this passage the brother is reading, is reminding them of their past before they became Christian. Of course, they are at this point now. They are now Christian. Well, let me put now. Present. The present. Okay, now. So here now, he's telling them of their past. That is, when they were not Christian. For you, if you are not Christian, you are?
Alien.
Alien.
From the commonwealth of Israel.
And from the covenant.
And strangers from the covenant.
You all hear that? Because an alien is really a stranger, you know. So I say this word is used so much in North America. Stranger. Well, when you tell men and women, because almost everybody who believes there is a God always talk like them and God slept in bed last night. Truly. No. You see, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, when you are not a child of God, there is a difference in the sight of God between you and the godly. Alien from the commonwealth of Israel and from the covenant of promise. Read.
Having no hope.
Having no hope.
and without God in the world.
Every time I said that last one, that you are without God as you go on through life in this world, should tell you why God does not hear your prayer. The Bible, God is the one who put that answer, you are without him. And you thought you and him slept last night. No, if your sin have not been dealt with by the blood of Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, you do not have God going on with you. Are we all there? The act of faith and obedience. The action of faith and obedience brought the penitent believer into these four divine benefits and blessings. What are they? Justification, sanctification, adoption, and being saved. The act of faith and obedience by the penitent believer. Those in Jesus Christ are pardoned in reference. Well, let me put it like this. Pardon has reference to guilt. Justification has reference to condemnation. Sanctification has reference to alienation. When the Bible says, the word sanctified really means to place or to put. That's right. The original Greek word used for sanctify is the same word used in the Bible for saints. It's the same word used in the gospel for holy. And the word sanctification means to put or to place or to change your position or state. So the word comes down to mean being separated for God's use. That's what the word sanctification means. Being separated for God's use. So when the Bible talks about the Christians are people who are sanctified, it means the Almighty God through Christ and in Christ separated us from the ungodly, and he separated us for his own use. The word adoption has reference to being alienated. The word salvation has reference to destruction. Wait now. A ship is solvent. That means they make the best use of everything that they were able to make use of. If it is insolvent, that means they can't make nothing out of it. The word solvent and salvation is coming from the same word. And salvation, the word salvation is used in reference to destruction. Sanctification. Let me wrap up right here, sir. Sanctification is both. Give me another few minutes and the lesson is yours, but I must deal with this. Sanctification is both positional. Let me use another word. Instantaneous, I put that in bracket. The word sanctification. Sanctification is both a positional, that is instantaneous, and B, it is progressive or ongoing. That's very important. This is the last point in the lesson, and it's important that we get this. Remember, we are dealing with the things that God has done for us. He justifies us. The word just and the word righteous is taken from the same Greek word. So when the Bible talks about we are justified, it means the Almighty God has, when we were unrighteous, the Almighty God has, it's a judicial act where the judge remove your sentence and say, you can go home. Justification is where you were unrighteous. But when you obey the gospel of Christ in faith, repentance, and baptism, the Almighty God stamp your record and free you from that court jail sentence. Justification means you are righteous, not because you are inherently righteous, but because the Almighty God said so. Well, just now the word sanctification, it is a positional thing. Listen, passage like first Ephesians chapter 5. Don't give me that yet. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 6, 2.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints.
Did everybody hear that? If you take long to hear, the sermon will be long. Read it again, brother. Brother is reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, and he's going to read chapter 6 and verse 2 also.
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth,
mm-hmm.
to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ,
okay,
our Lord.
Okay, and chapter 6, verse 2, I said?
6, 2.
I think.
Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, and ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Is that 6, 2?
Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Romans chapter 6, 17, 18.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
Brothers and sisters, I've been telling you that sanctification or being sanctified is both positional or what I would also term instantaneous and it is progressive or ongoing. When the brother read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, that the Corinthians are sanctified in Christ. Watch here, watch here. It is pointing out their positional point. They were in Christ. That's where they were. That's what made them sanctified. Because of where they were. The very instant a man or a woman is properly taught, the person believe, repent, and is baptized, that person is sanctified. The very instant that you obey the gospel, you are sanctified. That is instantaneous. The very instant you obey, you are sanctified. This is why thanks be to God that wherein you were the servants of sin. You have just read it in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 17, 18. But you have obeyed from the
heart
that form of
doctrine. Which was delivered you.
Go on.
Being then made free from sin.
Then when you obey the form of doctrine, at that instance, when you were freed from sin, you were also justified instantaneously. Positional. What do I mean by positional? You change your position or state from outside of Christ to being inside of Christ, positional. But here now, very important, sanctification is also progressive or ongoing. Look at the passage. Look at the passage of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 26, 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. Look at it.
5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water.
Brother Jonathan. That he might do what?
Sanctify.
What? He's talking about the church. And that refers to the members, eh? That Christ may sanctify
and cleanse.
And does
it.
What?
And cleanse it.
When is the cleansing going on? Right now. Right now. The Christians are people who daily are being cleansed by the blood of Christ. Daily. Had it not been like that, you and I would be lost. Because even after we become Christian, the Adamic nature is not completely destroyed. That he might
sanctify.
Sanctified in the same way that the cleansing is ongoing, progressive. Are we there? The sanctification is also ongoing or progressive. Same way. Same way. So when you read about being sanctify, or the wait, may I just drop here to sanctification? The Holy Spirit is the agent of sanctification. We're not going to have time to go into that. The Holy Spirit is the agent of sanctification. Watch it. Now, the ongoing, the progressive part is the Christ-like nature. When the Bible talks about and add to faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. When the Bible talks about grow in grace and in the knowledge, all of that is progressive. All of that is the progressive aspect of sanctification. That is getting rid of the Adamic nature and placing in us the Christ-like nature will continue until we die. Day by day, if you remain faithful to Christ, I need to drop that in. Day by day, if you remain faithful to Christ, Jesus Christ is sanctifying us in the same way that he's cleansing us. The instantaneous part is that once you repent and get baptized, at that instant you are placed in Christ. You have changed position from sinner to saints. The ongoing progressive part is getting rid of the sinful nature. That is ongoing. Every time you miss worship, you are giving Satan a chance in your life. Because worship is like sitting around the dining table of Jesus Christ, where he feeds you with spiritual things to help you get rid of the carnal nature, of the Adamic nature, of the sinful nature. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that God is working to have us pardon from our guilt, to have us justified from our condemnation, to have us sanctified, set us apart from our unholiness, to have us saved wherein we were lost. Thanks be to God that the Almighty God is daily working with us to get rid of the sinful man, the Adamic nature, and day by day to get on in us the Christ-like nature. Thanks be to God. Today you can start your Christ-like adoption, so to speak. You can step forward in a few minutes when we stand to sing a song. It is at that time you have the chance to respond to Jesus Christ in obedience. Remember, the Bible teaches that Christ is the author of eternal salvation, not to every man and every woman, but to those who obey him. To those who obey, there are some things that you must obey. Those things include believing in Christ, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in Christ, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. No. Getting baptized is not sprinkling. Getting baptized was never sprinkling for God. That's one of the hundreds of man-made invention to facilitate man and to disregard God's commandment. God's baptism is a burial in water. It symbolizes Jesus' burial in the tomb. Today, you can step forward. We are here to talk with you further.